Phil Boyer gets a royal send-off at AOPA Expo. The airlines were a little more punctual in September. And Glass Air's 2 weeks to taxi passes FAA muster. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, November 10th, 2008. The final session of AOPA Expo started Saturday with a tribute to outgoing President Phil Boyer. Boyer was the recipient of a rare water cannon salute as he arrived at San Jose International Airport for the event. It's thought to be the first time the ceremony has been afforded a general aviation flight. Arcing streams of water are commonly used to recognize retiring airline captains on their final flights. Bill Trimble, chairman of the board for the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association, recalled the challenges the organization has faced during Boyer's 18 years at the helm. Quote, challenges that would have overcome most organizations. An attack on our homeland greater than Pearl Harbor that grounded the fleet. An energy crisis that left avgas at over $6 a gallon. An ever-shrinking pilot population. A federal government bent on implementing costly user fees. And tragic aircraft accidents. Phil Boyer posted a heck of a lot of victories. The current situation reflects an incredible legacy, including a robust war chest for AOPA and ASF, 415,000 members strong, product liability reform, FSS reform, airport safety coast to coast, award-winning online safety courses, airport watch, and many, many more initiatives. Last but not least, he has won the admiration of AOPA's employees and the respect of government officials, federal, state, and local. There are few words that can adequately describe Phil Boyer, but I choose one, and that is superb, unquote. A flight bag positioned prominently on the stage symbolized the baton to be handed to incoming AOPA President Craig Fuller. Boyer said, quote, I want to put some things in that flight bag that I want to turn over to the new pilot that will use that bag, unquote. He went on to discuss several investments in the future, including AOPA's revised Internet Flight Planner, which now supports all operating systems, partnerships with Embry-Riddle, the University of North Dakota, and most recently with Middle Tennessee State University, and the just-launched Let's Go Flying campaign. Boyer reaffirmed AOPA's commitment to grow the pilot population. Boyer then introduced AOPA President-elect Craig Fuller. You'll get to meet him starting this Wednesday in the Aero News special feature. The latest report on the on-time performance of U.S. airlines from DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics shows improvement in the month of September. The overall on-time arrival rate was 84.9% in September, up from 81.7% a year ago, also up from August's 78.4%. Flights canceled in September totaled 1.8% of scheduled domestic flights, up sharply from 1.1% a year ago and 1.6% in August. You can find more details and a link to the full report in the text version of this story at aero-news.net. When the FAA announced recently it would look carefully at industry-side compliance with the so-called 51% rule, one of the builder assist programs expected to come under intense scrutiny was Glass Air Aviation's 2 weeks to taxi. Last week, members of the FAA's Production and Airworthiness Division visited Glass Air's facility in Arlington, Washington, to review the program up close. The company tells ANN the lean manufacturing processes and educational assistance used to dramatically accelerate build time for the Glass Air Sportsman have been given a clean bill of health for compliance with FAR 21-191G. Glass Air's CEO, Mikhail Villa, says his team couldn't be more excited. Quote, we have worked very, very hard to develop a program that makes aircraft building more accessible, more organized, and as efficient as possible, while staying within the letter and spirit of the amateur-built rule, unquote. The Transportation Security Administration has been racing to catch up with the growth in the volume of packages shipped aboard passenger airliners in the U.S. The revenue brought in is now a vital part of most airline operations. Effective last month, TSA says most of those packages are now screened for explosives. TSA spokesman Christopher White calls it a very significant step forward. USA Today reports that TSA has now implemented cargo screening on all packages carried aboard narrow-body, single-aisle airliners. Larger wide-body craft are scheduled to get the same level of attention by early 2010. The delay has resulted from the much larger 5x5-foot palletized shipping containers that are common on those wider aircraft. Air Transport Association spokesman David Castlevetter says airlines handle most cargo screening duties at 80 large and mid-sized airports. TSA is responsible for screening checked luggage and air freight originating from over 370 smaller airports. The congressionally mandated deadline for all air cargo to be screened regardless of size is February 2010. Up next on ANN, a pilot suddenly loses his vision while flying alone and survives. Northwest voluntarily grounds 27 of its 757s. And Cessna says Skycatcher development is on schedule. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with a sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft merges the most advanced technologies from the fields of hearing science, aviation communications, and performance audio. Clarity Aloft headsets use Comply Canal tips, composed of soft, viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. The noise-canceling microphone is optimized for speech frequencies in high-noise environments. The low-profile headband is featherweight and comfortable. Just three reasons why you need to feel and hear the difference a Clarity Aloft stereo headset can make for you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headsets on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for November 10th, 2008. I'm Paul Flack. The expression flying blind is a common metaphor from aviation that compares making a decision with inadequate information to the challenges of flying an IMC. But what if you were flying VFR alone and suddenly could see neither the ground nor your instrument panel? That's what happened to 65-year-old pilot Jim O'Neill when he suffered a stroke descending through 5,500 for a landing at Full Sutton Airfield near York, England. After controllers talked O'Neill through a diversion to RAF Linton-on-Ouse, the Royal Air Force scrambled a team to assist him. Controller Richard Eggleton told the Daily Mirror, quote, "You could hear the apprehension in his voice over the radio and the frustration he was experiencing. I kept saying, 'Are you visual?' And he would reply, 'No, sir, negative. I'm sorry, sir.' He kept on apologizing. I have had some experience of flying myself, and I have been in a glider myself. Being up there on your own without sight, it doesn't bear thinking about," unquote. Aided by an RAF pilot in a Tucano T-1 jet, O'Neill finally touched down on his eighth approach attempt. The Cessna bounced twice, but O'Neill got it stopped before reaching the end of the runway and was taken to a hospital. In an audio recording of the ordeal's last 4 minutes on the BBC website, Wing Commander Paul Gerard can be heard telling O'Neill the runway is right under the nose of his aircraft, and O'Neill responds that he still cannot see it. Gerard commented, quote, "Landing an aircraft literally blind needs someone to be right there to say, 'Left a bit, right a bit, stop, down.' On the crucial final approach, even with radar assistance, you need to take over visually. That's when having a fellow pilot there was so important," unquote. O'Neill recalled, quote, "It was terrifying. Suddenly I couldn't see the dials in front of me. I should not be alive. I owe my life and those of dozens of people I could have crash-landed on to the RAF," unquote. The pilot's son credits his father's 18 years experience flying for his ability to remain cool. Douglas O'Neill says his father is regaining sight in one eye and may recover normal vision in a matter of weeks. He predicts Jim O'Neill will be flying again as soon as authorities will let him. It might be a good time for Douglas to get his pilot certificate, because I'm guessing Dad will never be allowed to fly alone again. Back in the spring, FAA audits of airline compliance with airworthiness directives became infamous for producing sudden groundings of planes and disruptions of the travel plans of customers, most notably customers of American Airlines. The latest grounding, however, was prompted by an airline's own internal audit. Northwest Airlines reports it temporarily grounded 27 Boeing 757s Friday night. Northwest VP Tammy Lee Stanek explained to the Minneapolis Star Tribune, quote, "We learned that we were technically non-compliant with one minor aspect of an FAA airworthiness directive on a 757 main landing gear component. At no point was the safety of our passengers compromised," unquote. But about 2,600 passengers did have their flights canceled. Northwest says it booked customers on alternate flights when possible and put others up in hotels for the night. The airline says that by about 10:40 p.m. Central Time, or about 3 hours after the decision to ground the planes, it was able to demonstrate to the FAA an alternate means of compliance with EAD, at which point the FAA cleared the planes for a return to service. Stanek stressed, quote, "safety remains the top priority at Northwest and our parent company, Delta," unquote. Cessna reported at AOPA Expo that it's on course to begin deliveries of the Model 162 Skycatcher during the second half of next year, matching the timetable projected at the plane's launch in Oshkosh in July of last year. Since losing the prototype in a September flight test accident, Cessna has made the first production model its primary flight test aircraft, while another airframe is undergoing static testing to demonstrate compliance with ASTM standards for light sport aircraft. Production assembly jigs and tooling and detailed tooling to support fabrication are complete and in place at Shenyang Aircraft Corporation in China. Cessna will ship the Skycatcher's engine and avionics, along with raw materials, from the U.S. to Shenyang, where planes will be assembled under the watchful eye of Cessna quality control personnel. The next major program milestone is scheduled for the second quarter of next year, when the first Skycatcher built by SAC is completed and flight tested. Delta Airlines was the last holdout among the U.S. legacy carriers, charging a fee for a passenger's first checked bag. The airline hoped it would be a competitive advantage, but says its customers assumed it was charging the fee anyway and have been showing up with more carry-ons. So, Delta says it will join the herd beginning December 5th and charge $15 for that first checked bag. The second bag already costs $25 extra on Delta. And now that Delta has capitulated, AirTran may too. AirTran CEO Bob Fornaro told participants on a conference call last month his company was holding out because it competes with Delta on many routes out of Atlanta. Quote, "We compete on two-thirds of our flights and 80 to 90% of our revenue. We prefer to be a follower in this situation rather than a leader," unquote. He added at the time that if Delta added a first bag fee, quote, "we would strongly consider it," unquote. Southwest has been advertising heavily to promote its policy of real fares with no added fees. That is, of course, unless you want to board with the business travelers in the A-line. Still ahead, a reporter claims he's found a hidden underworld stealing from bags at LAX. Congress and the Pentagon argue over the F-22. And U.S. Airways gets a loan from its regional subsidiary. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, November 10th. I'm Paul Plack. If you're a frequent flyer, or even if you follow industry news, it comes as no surprise to you that theft of valuables from checked bags has become common at U.S. airports. Given its size and passenger volume, you probably wouldn't even be surprised to learn that Los Angeles International Airport leads the nation in reports of items stolen from luggage. But an investigative report by a Los Angeles TV station has produced shocking reports of just how brazen the thefts can be and how organized the thieves have become. CBS2's David Goldstein found what he called a hidden underworld at LAX. He quotes two airport workers who agreed to comment if their identities were concealed, who said that organized rings of thieves identify valuables in your checked luggage by looking at the TSA X-ray screens, then communicate with baggage handlers by text or cell phone, telling them exactly what to look for. Quote, "This is a laptop here, VCR here, and it's located in this area of the bag. Here's the color of the bag. They give them all the information they need to know," unquote. LAPD undercover agents recently looked into flights with an unusually high number of theft reports. When two baggage handlers were arrested as a result, police say they recovered 272 stolen items plus more than $10,000 in cash. LAX has been hit with 3,700 claims for stolen goods since 2001, totaling more than $300 million, including 645 digital cameras, 451 pieces of jewelry, and 389 laptops. Employees told CBS2 Some security cameras at the airport are out of order or incorrectly positioned to record the crimes. To be fair, not all airport thieves are baggage handlers or TSA employees. Goldstein reported receiving surveillance video of a woman who removed her jewelry, put it in a plastic bin on the checkpoint conveyor belt, then forgot about it on the other side. It was taken, but not by a screener, by another passenger who was seen on video emptying the plastic bin into her purse. Add one more problem to the list facing President-elect Barack Obama. The U.S. Department of Defense is fighting Congress over the future of the F-22 Raptor fighter. The Pentagon wants to leave any decision on whether to build more of the planes to the next administration. The current contract with Lockheed Martin calls for another 183 F-22s. But the Pentagon has made it clear the stealth capabilities of the Raptor are unneeded in conflicts such as those in Iraq and Afghanistan, and that it would prefer to buy cheaper F-35s instead. But Congress has appropriated $500 million in the 2009 federal budget. That's a spending level which reflects a track to build 381 more Raptors. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Ike Skelton and other members of Congress argue that unless more Raptors are immediately procured, production of the plane could end, requiring as much as $500 million in added costs to restart production if it was needed later. It's probably no big mystery where Lockheed stands on the issue. A company spokesman says the funding, quote, would provide an economic advantage that leverages the investment that has been made by the country in the F-22, unquote. Essentially buying time until the next administration can make its call. I wish my time was that valuable. You'd know things were getting tight around the household if Dad needed to borrow money from Junior. Well, U.S. Airways is being spotted $35 million by its regional subsidiary, Air Wisconsin Airlines. It was revealed Thursday that the loan is part of a $950 million financing plan announced by U.S. Airways in October. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports the loan has a 12-month initial term, though U.S. Airways may opt to double that time frame for additional penalties and assuming certain conditions are met. U.S. Airways reports it has closed on roughly $800 million in new funding as of October 20th. Half will be used to pay down interest on the airline's $1.6 billion in bank debt. The rest will be used to cover normal operating costs. And finally, Senator John McCain and Alaska Governor Sarah Palin may have come in second in the U.S. presidential race, but their chartered Embraer E190 has set a new world performance record. The jet, which was chartered by the campaign from JetBlue, was used to return Governor Palin to Alaska last week, and then was being repositioned back to New York JFK on Thursday. There, it's going to be stripped of the campaign livery and prepared for an eventual return to regular airline service. USA Today reports that the airline, in a message to employees, noted, quote, Aircraft 239, the McCain-Palin charter jet, set a new record by jetting from Anchorage to Buffalo nonstop at 2,694 nautical miles. This was the longest E-190 flight ever operated by any airline on the planet, unquote. JetBlue notes that the flight not only beat its longest normally scheduled nonstop E-190 flight, which is less than 1,500 miles from Boston to Austin, Texas, but it even surpassed its overall longest nonstop route, 2,341 miles between Oakland and Boston, served by larger Airbus A320s. When asked how the six-hour-plus marathon flight was flown on a so-called regional jet, JetBlue credited a strong tailwind and the fact that the plane was not weighed down by passengers and luggage. Well, sure, your range would increase dramatically, too, if you took $150,000 worth of clothes out of the cargo hold. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in my weekly safety discussion with CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves, we'll cover the dangers of your local airport pattern and Bob's thoughts on concentrated instrument training. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.